Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be with you again. Another fine summer day, and it's another day that we're going to take a look at how to build your finances so that you have a strong fortress around your money. It's really important to lay that foundation, and one of the core elements of that is your emergency fund. So today we're going to look at how much money do you want to keep in your emergency fund? Now, there's no perfect answer to this, but we're going to look at how you figure it out. I want to thank today's sponsor, which is the Simple Plan Life Insurance. You can get your own personalized quotes, do it yourself for free at getthesimpleplan.com/quotes. And if you're not sure how much life insurance you should be carrying, you can go to getthesimpleplan.com/how much. One of the things you might want to consider is that Dave Ramsey, for those of you, I know some of you are real Dave Ramsey fans, he's very big on the ways that you, money-saving tips, and he calls it the easiest money-saving tip is to go back and look at whether you've got the right amount of insurance, the right coverage, and what you're paying for it. So you can do that with your Simple Plan .com quotes and simpleplan.com/how much to figure out whether you're on the right track or you might be able to do better. We have a helpful article today called 5 Simple Steps to the Right Life Insurance. You can pick that up at bit.ly/DL5steps. And that's DL lowercase 5 and then steps is a capital steps. So bit.ly/DL5steps to download that 5 simple steps to the right life insurance. All right, so we want to talk about your emergency fund today. And it's a great time to be thinking about this stuff. Believe me, we're all very aware of how much of an emergency life can be right now. You know, there are many things that we plan for. You can't know what's going to happen, but you can be prepared for things that do happen. Now, of course, we're living in utterly extraordinary times these days, which you might say, well, that even that stretches it a little. It's hard to be prepared for what we're going through right now. But, you know, if you've got an emergency fund that is well set up, then you are well set up to endure through these difficult times. And for those of us that have an emergency fund in place, even though that things have been bumpy and, of course, very concerning in these very crazy times, at least we haven't been lying awake so far worrying about our finances. And that is not to belittle anyone. Many people are having great struggles out there financially. I am deeply sympathetic to your difficulties. And for sure, many of the things that are going on are not things that we could have anticipated. But now we know. We know what kinds of things we can be prepared for. At least we can add another one to our arsenal. So let's take a look at how we might prepare. So I'll just switch that. And so how much should we have saved for our emergency fund? Well, that seems like a simple question on the surface, but you know what? It really varies from person to person. And there are a number of factors that affect it. One of those factors is you should save 3 to 6 months of expenses. And so we're going to break that down. That sounds pretty simple on the surface, and people can think, oh, I get that. Yeah, great. 3 to 6 months, no problem. I got that covered. But we're going to take a look at where you should fall on that, because obviously there's a big gap between 3 months and 6 months. Now, it really depends on how secure your income is as to how long this should be, how many months, 3, 4, 5, or even 6 months. Also depends to some extent on your appetite, tolerance for risk. How long do you want to be with a safety blanket for your finances? And so one of the big considerations, the key consideration in how long, whether it's 3, 4, 5, or 6 months, is what's the nature of how you earn your income? Are you an employee? Are you employed somewhere? Are you self-employed? Are you a government worker? Because that's a little more solid. Are you an essential worker? You know, that's not a factor that we looked at previously, but now we're seeing that essential is a whole other category we maybe hadn't considered before. And so let's look at how we might break that down. So if we are, let's say that we're an employee in a business, let's say we work in the food service industry, because we look at the times we've been going through, there's been some great vulnerabilities. Food service sector, people who are parts of major events, event planning, that kind of thing. Holy smokes, you know, those industries are, depending what area you're in, really going through some tough times. And so if you're just an employee, you are at the mercy of whatever's going to go on with that particular business. So if they're having to lay people off or shut down, or worse yet, they go right out of business due to financial conditions, well, then you're affected by that, obviously. And so that's what it looks like for an employee. It could be subtle as well. For example, you might work in a professional organization that hasn't been so affected, but perhaps that organization has said, look, maybe we could all just go down to working at 80%. We'll work 4 days a week. That way we can spread the reduced workload out among everybody, and people are at least getting 80 or 84 or whatever percent of their income. Well, again, you might want to have some emergency fund to help you cover that off. Now, if you're self-employed, of course, you can make the assessment about how viable your business is through different types of scenarios and the types of events that can come your way. So, for example, in these pandemic times, you know, one of the things we're seeing that's doing actually fairly well in my part of the world, I can't say about others, is the landscapers are out in full force. They seem to be just going about business as usual, because the way they do business isn't as affected by conditions as others might be. On the other hand, there are many self-employed people who provide services to other people. Let's say hairdressers were completely shut down for periods in many jurisdictions, those things that require close physical contact. So that's really, you have to gauge for yourself how resilient your self-employment is. But, you know, I'm just using there the pandemic example. Of course, if people are in difficult times financially, they're going to cut back probably and go cut their own grass perhaps. So that may be a scenario where something like a landscaper has got some more difficulties. Or if you're in a big recession, then you are looking at probably less house building is going to go on. So if you're in the construction industry, there'll be fewer houses starting up. Fewer commercial buildings being built. If you provide services to commercial spaces, right? The malls were closed down for many weeks. But even still, you know, maybe businesses are going to say, look, we can use our own employees to clean rather than using the outsourced contracted cleaners that we've used in the past. So these are all the things that you have to kind of gauge for yourself is what's the likelihood of your being out of work. Now, if you're a government worker, well, it depends on the type of government worker you are, but it may well be that your job is more secure. And so you're thinking, well, you know, my job is pretty secure. Maybe that's because you provide some kind of essential work, or perhaps your collective agreement makes it pretty difficult to lay you off. And so it's just likely that your work is going to continue. And then, of course, we have the category of essential workers. So, you know, at the forefront of those are healthcare workers, I would say, because pretty much come what may, we need our healthcare workers. Now, again, those things can vary. I've certainly lived through periods where there was major layoffs going on in healthcare. But I would say that is probably a more resilient area of work. So there you go. How many months? Well, if you're an employee in a fairly vulnerable position, then I'd want to have 6 months. If I'm self-employed and I might have to make a decision to shut down my business quickly, I might also want to have 6 months. If I'm a government worker with a pretty solid job, maybe I'm going to say 4 months is going to be good enough. And if I'm an essential worker in an essential industry like healthcare, maybe I'm going to say 3 months. Now, perhaps you like a bigger cushion, so maybe you are an essential worker, but you say, nah, I'd still like to have 4 months or even 6 months. Then by all means, set that much money aside. All right. And so the other consideration is how much on a monthly basis. And the key there is that we're talking about saving expenses, not income. You know, we all bring in a certain amount of income and we may well spend it. Hopefully we're not. Hopefully we're saving a bunch of it. We're allocating it carefully. We have a great plan going. And so we may be using all our money or allocating, giving every dollar a job, allocating all our money carefully each month. But that doesn't mean that those are on essential expenses. And so when we say save 3 to 6 months of expense money, we're talking essential spending money. So that's not all your income. It's not even all your current expenses that has to be replaced for that period. And so let's have a look at what that might mean. All right. And so what I've got here is the list that we use to help people when they're putting a budget together of spending categories. This is, by no means is this completely exhaustive. You may have expenses in other areas that aren't on this list, but it's a pretty good place to start thinking about it. And I just want to step through some of it and show you what we mean when we talk about essential expenses. So, for example, let me get my highlighter here. Oh, that's not what I want. There we go. All right. So, for example, we might consider, depending on who you are and where you give, you might consider regular giving essential. But you might consider other giving non-essential, in which case you'd say, well, I don't have to do that. So we can unhighlight that. Obviously, we don't need to do any saving when we are in a crisis mode. And so we can cut out all our savings. So you know what? I'm going to do this the other way. I'm going to highlight the ones that we don't have to deal with. So we're not going to, maybe we're going to slow down on our other giving. Maybe we definitely don't have to do any of our saving. Obviously, we're going to have to pay our mortgage or our rent. Well, you know, again, we're living in unprecedented crazy times where apparently even that's not required. But I would definitely not plan for that. It's not a great, because people are getting their rent or their mortgage deferred, but they are going to owe it in these conditions we're living in. So you should, above all, please try to plan to be able to pay your rent or your mortgage. You're probably going to have to pay for your house insurance. You're going to have to make your second mortgage or your line of credit payment. If you've got that on your house, we hope you don't. We want to work against that stuff. Property taxes, again, these are different times where property taxes are being deferred, but you're probably going to be on the hook for that. You're going to be on the hook for your strata fees. But, you know, you might be able to say, listen, we're not going to do any house maintenance, and we're not going to accumulate any money in our furniture fund during that time. Utilities, we're probably going to be stuck with electric, natural gas, water, sewer, garbage. But you know what? Maybe we can get a cheaper phone or a cheaper phone plan. Maybe we can cut down on our television. Well, we can certainly cut down on our television. And maybe we don't need to have the super duper online gaming, unlimited speed internet. All right, food, we're going to need groceries, but we might be able to cut back on that a bit. We can probably cut down on dining out and coffee. We can, for a period, certainly get rid of buying new clothes. Transportation, you know, depends how you get around. You may or may not need any one of those. Our insurances, we're probably going to have to make all those payments. We probably need money for our prescriptions. We probably need money for, we may not need money for our private medical, depends on the nature of that. But often these things are difficult. You don't want to stop paying them because if you get out of them, then you're going to be in the difficult position of having to requalify if you want to pick them up later and possibly paying higher rates for them later. So there you have to make some decisions. In what's called discretionary, and believe me, not all these things are discretionary. You know, let's look Okay, well, maybe we can cut back on the hair care and the cosmetics. Not eliminate it, but cut back on it. Books and supplies, that may or may not be a necessity. Subscriptions and organization dues, we can probably cut down on. Gifts, we could cut down on. Maybe we're going to have to cancel spending money on sports and gym and music and technology. But we're definitely going to have to make our spousal support and our child support payments. We could probably reduce the amount of our personal cash that we spend. And I would say that entertainment and vacation is going to go during those periods. And then all your debt payments, you're probably going to have to make most of those. You know, here and there, you might be able to sometimes, for example, a mortgage payment or other debt payments, you could say, well, can I skip a payment? Well, what they're really doing is they're tacking it on to the end. And that's maybe manageable for a month or two, but don't do it for more than that, or you're just digging yourself a deep hole. But don't plan for it. Don't plan for that as a way out. And so you get the idea here. When you look at your expenses, that's going to be the non-highlighted items on this list that you're going to have to deal with. By the way, under debt there, of course, we're big advocates for not carrying any debt. So we hope that if you're in great shape, you won't have any of those things. No car payments, no credit cards, no line of credit, no student loans, and especially no payday lenders. And we hope you don't owe back taxes either. But that's not the position everyone's in right now. Okay, so you get the idea that that list that you see in front of you, that whole thing might be our entire spending in a given month. Maybe we've got expenses going on in all those areas, but they're not essential expenses. There's lots that we could cut back and lower what's going out so that we could live easily in a crisis mode. All right, so remember, expenses, not income. And then finally, we want to take the number of months. So that's where we started. We figured out the number of months. Is it 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, or 6 months? Times that essential monthly spending. And that's going to get you to what your emergency fund should be. So if you decided, well, really, I need 6 months worth, and maybe my monthly spending is $4,000 a month, but when I look at the essential spending, it's only $3,000. Well, 6 times $3,000 is going to be $18,000. That's how much you should have in your emergency fund. And again, you might decide that number is too big, and then you go back and take another pass at this list and say, well, maybe there's more that I don't have to do in a crisis. But I will tell you, as you can see from that list, we're all in a much stronger position when we're not carrying debt. And we are especially in a much stronger position when we're not carrying debt and we have a strong emergency fund. So those are two cores to our financial security plan. Another one, of course, is insurance, many different types of insurance. We talked about life insurance the last couple of weeks. So you've got some good information there on how to really build that financial security fortress that will keep you feeling good and your family safe financially. All right. And so if you need help in any of those areas, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to point you in the right direction. We do help people in some of these areas. We also have some financial coaches that we work with to help people out in these particular areas if they want to get down to some really detailed support in making these changes in their life. And I can tell you that, let's call it 6 years ago. That's when my wife and I started on this journey. And we walked through the baby steps, and we started with our basic emergency fund. And so let me just address that. Your base emergency fund while you're trying to get rid of your debt. So don't be squirreling away $18,000 in emergency fund money while you're carrying $22,000 in debt. That's just like borrowing the money for your emergency fund. It doesn't make any sense. Pay off your debt first. But do put a starter emergency fund in place before you get going. And I would recommend $1,500. I believe The Ramsey Organization recommends $1,000. That's in the U.S., so that would be about $1,400 here. Let's call it $1,500 or make it $2,000 if that makes you feel a little more comfortable. Get that basic emergency fund, that starter emergency fund in place, and then hammer away at all your debt, get rid of your debt, and then you get to this step of putting your emergency, your big emergency fund together. So that's the process that my wife and I went through. It was took a while. We had a bunch of debt, took us a while, and we were living well. We were living very well, believe me. We had a very, very nice house. We took nice vacations. All at one point we had, you know, I confess, we had two nice leased cars. All the madness. We had the full thing. And no emergency fund and not a lot of savings and. And we just decided, hey, no more. This, we were convicted that that was the wrong way to live on many fronts, that it's the wrong way to live. And so we made that decision. Took us a couple of years to turn the thing completely around, but we got rid of all the debt. We saved the starter emergency fund first. Then we got rid of all the debt, and then we accumulated all the emergency fund. We go with 6 months. And because we like that level of comfort, and that 6 months emergency fund is stored away just like I described to you last week. So if you missed last week's episode where we talked about where to put your emergency fund, go back and watch that, and you'll know where you should be keeping that kind of stuff. And then we moved on to steps 4 and 6. We don't have 5 because our kids are past that. But that's what it took, and that's what it takes, and it's great. It's a great way to live. And the freedom is remarkable, really, when not only when you don't have the debt kind of pressing in on you from all sides, but also you have these emergency safety nets in place along with the right types of life insurance and whatever other insurance you need. It's a much more comfortable life. That's where freedom really lies, not in having all that stuff and all that debt. So I hope that's been helpful for you today. That now you can go and sit down and do the work to figure out how much you should be setting aside for your emergency fund. Just go and go through your budget, your cash flow plan that you have that tells you what you're spending every month, and just tick off there what the absolute essential ones are, and then multiply the sum of those times the number of months that you believe you should have an emergency fund. So that is what we were getting at today. You can follow us on Facebook. We're there for you. Of course, you're watching us live. Some of you are watching us live on Facebook right now. Also, you can catch us on Twitter and on Instagram. And so I just want to remind you that we have that helpful article, 5 Simple Steps to the Right Life Insurance. You can download that at bit.ly/DL5steps, bit.ly/DL5steps, just as it appears there on your screen. Thanks very much to our sponsor today from the Simple Plan Life Insurance. Get the simpleplan.com/quotes and get the Simple Plan getthesimpleplan.com/how much to find out what you should be carrying for insurance and whether you're carrying the right amount of life insurance. I'm Brad Macbeth. Thanks very much for joining us today from The Simple Plan. We appreciate you. We will be back later this week live on Friday. See you then.